Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. Now, in my book, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, I have a whole chapter having to do with food and food sensitivities. And the reason I have this chapter is because I've discovered over time that food sensitivities can be a major issue when it comes to chronic pain. Well, today we're going to actually be talking about excess weight. You know, that's that love handle or several love handles, you know, that you might have or loved one struggling with excessive weight gain, and that how food sensitivities can be a huge part that can thwart your efforts. So it's not just about getting rid of, you know, bad foods in your diet. It's not just about exercising more, eating less. You know, that paradigm doesn't really work for a lot of people. It certainly doesn't work for people in my practice, and I see a lot of people with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, chronic pain, and about half of them are overweight, if not more. And they struggle with this. And I just worked with someone earlier today who we discovered had several different types of food intolerances contributing to her weight gain. So today I'll be talking to an expert in the field that works with a lot of people and has used a specific test that I mentioned in my book called the ALCAT test. It's a blood test. It helps people determine what types of food sensitivities or intolerances they may have and actually get them back on track as to healing their gut and healing their systems, decreasing that inflammation. And Dr. Fred Pescatore, is the author of The Hamptons Diet, number one best-selling children's health book, Feed Your Kids Well, amongst others. And he's been using this test for a while, and so I was so happy that he could take time out of his busy schedule to speak with us today about the ALCAT test and about food sensitivities and how that contributes to weight gain. And if you're joining us live, you can call in and ask Dr. Pescatore a question if you'd like. The number to call in is 818-514-1190, and then hit 1, so I know your hand's up. Again, that number is 818-514-1190. Okay, Dr. Fred, hello, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, and we're just so happy to have you on the show today. You know, this is a very, very popular topic as far as, you know, the whole natural wellness. Everybody wants to know how they can lose weight. They're struggling with losing weight. They're supposedly eating all the right things, you know, good quality food. They're exercising, and still they're not losing weight. And what I'm learning is food intolerances are sometimes a really major cause of this. So share with us, you know, a little bit about you and your practice and what's happened in your practice for helping people lose weight.
Well, I think really, from my perspective, I mean, I've written diet books as well, and one very popular one called The Hamptons Diet, and I sort of look at diet, I'm of the opinion, and, you know, coming from a physician and coming from a best-selling author of diet books, I should not be saying this, but you truly can lose weight eating pretty much anything you want when it comes right down to it, if you put your mind to it, and especially if you're younger. However, that doesn't mean you're going to be doing it in a healthy way. And I think what people get bogged down with, and the missing piece to all of this puzzle right now, and we know what the missing piece is, and the missing piece to all of this puzzle really is reducing all of the aspects of inflammation in the body that can possibly lead to problems that make it impossible to lose weight. And I think food sensitivities are probably the last frontier in that, because we're now getting to the point where there are best-selling books about inflammation and the wheat belly diets and the inflammation diets and this diet and that diet. And we know that inflammation is an issue. We know that inflammation affects 175 million Americans every day. And that causes, as we know, as you know as well as I do, that it causes increase in cortisol levels, which causes stress, which causes fat to gain weight around the middle. Now, I'd be very surprised if there aren't people listening right now who can't say to themselves, that's where all my fat is going, right to the middle. It's never happened to me before. Well, that's because cortisol messes with your insulin levels, which just messes with the entire way the body's supposed to metabolize food. And the one thing that a lot of people have not gotten to is the one thing which I think is really important, well, amongst many things, is the food sensitivity testing, which is something that is critical to do, because if you're eating foods that you're sensitive to, you have a chronic source of inflammation that is just not going to go away because you can't put two and two together. You don't necessarily know that a particular food's causing a sensitivity.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And for myself, I do a lot of applied kinesiology, and I'm doing a parasite cleanse right now. What I realize is that every time I gain a couple of pounds, of course, I'm like, well, I didn't eat anything, you know, that's causing that, and I'm exercising. And invariably, I think 99% of the time, it's some sort of food intolerance that's coming up. So this is so true. I mean, it's made such a difference in my life knowing what I am sensitive to and what I'm not.
Well, I think that would be important for a lot of people to know. And, you know, it's funny because most people say, wow, when they look at their list, they'll say, oh, okay. Yeah, now when I eat that, I do see a correlation. Or the flip side of that is they'll stop eating that particular food, and then they'll inevitably be in a situation where, oh, that's all I could eat. Yeah, really, we've all heard that story before. And they eat that, and then they say, oh, I did get a reaction from that. You know what I mean? So it's just an interesting phenomena, if you ask me, just the effects that you can get or how people feel when they eliminate the foods that bother them.
Yeah, I'm always amazed at how, and I'm sure you've seen this time and time again, at how much the person sometimes craves the exact foods that they're sensitive to. Can you tell us why that happens?
Well, I think the reason why that is, it's a very complex system as to why you develop food sensitivities in the first place. So maybe we should take just a minute or two to talk about that.
Sure.
What happens when you develop food sensitivities, and it's always invariably, oh, these are the foods I eat the most. Well, that's correct, because that's how food sensitivities develop. What happens is you'll get what's called a leaky gut. And the leaky gut will happen from whether it's too many antibiotics, whether it's eating too much sugar, whether it's oral contraceptives, whether it's steroid medications. There's a whole litany of things that cause leaky gut. What a leaky gut simply means is that there are tiny microscopic holes in your digestive tract. And, you know, these are microscopic, folks, not, you know, giant holes. So they're microscopic. And what happens when your body's digesting the food, these undigested tiny food particles get into your bloodstream. And then your bloodstream looks at them and says, hey, wait a minute, these aren't supposed to be here. So they develop an antigen-antibody response to it, just as like when you get a cold, for instance, or something like that. Your body builds up an antibody against it so that it tries to eliminate the invader. And that's what it's doing with these foods. That's what it's doing with these foods. So that's why, invariably, people, when you eat those foods over and over again, it'll give your body more and more of a chance to build up food intolerances to it or food sensitivities to it. And that is that's the bottom line to how we get food sensitivities and why it might be the things you eat the most of. So I think that's I should just say one thing also here is that food sensitivities are different than food allergies.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Can you clarify that for everyone?
Yeah, because food allergies are something that can really kill you. I mean, food allergies, you can eat something, you can get anaphylaxis reaction, which means your throat will close up, you'll get big hives and all sorts of things like that all over your body. We're not talking about that here, folks. We're talking about food sensitivities, which are far more subtle, far, far more subtle.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you mentioned earlier, I wanted to just expand on it a little bit, how, you know, people might look at their ALCAT testing and go, wow, I can't believe I'm sensitive to turkey, for example. You know, I eat turkey all the time. I don't think I have a reaction. And then they stop eating turkey, and then maybe they introduce it or they just cheat or whatever on their elimination diet, and they go ahead and eat it, and then they have a massive, you know, I'm not obviously life-threatening, but now they have a huge reaction to the turkey. It could be like they go into a depressive slump, or they feel like crappy in the morning, they're tired, or whatever it is. Why is it that when people are off it for a while, they actually seem to get a bigger reaction, at least initially, when they reintroduce it into their diet?
Well, that's for me, the reason why I think that occurs is because then there's all these antibodies in your body, and it finally has something to react to. And it didn't once you eliminate that, it doesn't have that to react to it anymore. And these reactions, you know, I think I've written in one of my books or another that there can be like 300 reactions to a food sensitivity, anywhere from, you know, a sniffle to a bloat in your belly to an inability to sleep that night to waking up in the middle of the night to just inability to lose weight. I mean, I think there's just so many, just feeling fatigue, feeling brain fog, not feeling connected. I think there's so many ways of not feeling good that we forget about it. And it's always interesting, my patients, after I do the ALCAT test or, pardon me, and change their diet, and then they'll come back and say, wow, I didn't really know that had an effect on me, but now I feel so much better now that these foods are out of my system. And the other one is, how can I be sensitive to blueberries? Those are a healthy food. Well,
right.
It might be healthy for the majority of the population, but they're not healthy for you. And that's the beauty of the ALCAT testing and why I use it in my practice, is because I can personalize people's food issues. So what you may eat may be different, you know, what the inflammation that may cause in you is different than the inflammation that can cause in me, and that sort of thing. So that's why I think it's sort of critical to have testing like this periodically so that you chronically know what's not working for you.
Right. I've definitely had patients with, with various different problems, and one of them being inability to lose weight, where, you know, once they have the ALCAT testing and they follow through on the recommendations, start healing, you know, that leaky gut by avoiding these trigger foods for them, is that they finally start losing the weight. And it's not like, you know, especially for the older individuals, it's not like, you know, dramatic, like, wow, 10 pounds in 2 weeks, although it can be for some people. But, you know, it's this slow, steady, and more permanent weight loss. Is this what you're seeing in your office, Dr. Fred?
Yes, the slow, steady, I mean, slow and steady weight loss is always the most important to me. So am I seeing it in my office? Yes. But I think what's the most important is that people realize that weight loss, no matter what, is not going to be a quick fix. And I think if people understood that, we'd all be a lot happier. You and
well,
I would be
like
happier treating patients. Well, yes, gaining weight is far easier. We all know that. Gaining weight is far, far easier than losing it. But although I must admit, if you do something like an ALCAT test and you follow a proper diet and you exercise, you can lose weight just as quickly as you gain it. It's just... Gaining, I just think people should be, if they were consistent with how they ate and the manner in which they ate and the foods in which they ate, then they would, people wouldn't be so concerned. We wouldn't have all this yo-yo dieting that we have.
Mm-hmm. And for those of us just joining us, I'm interviewing Dr. Fred Pescatore, the best-selling author of The Hampton's Diet, and we are talking about using the ALCAT food sensitivity testing, which is a blood test that shows people what they're sensitive to and even healthy foods that they may be sensitive to that are causing them to gain or not be able to lose excess weight. And if you'd like to ask Dr. Pescatore a live question, you can do that by calling in 818-514-1190. Again, that number is 818-514-1190. And just hit 1 so that we know your hand is up. And don't be shy. Go ahead and give us a call, and you can ask Dr. Fred a question live. So, Dr. Pescatore, can you give us some examples from your practice of people that have successfully lost weight in your practice using the ALCAT test?
Oh, I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, it's hard to, and often it's people who were sort of at the end of the line, who said, "Oh, I can't. Yeah, I've been to every doctor. I've tried every diet. I've done everything I could. There's nothing more I can do." And yeah, that's kind of the beauty of people, is that they do continue to try. They do keep trying for all of this. They do keep at it. And whether they're, you know, the ultimate success would be someone who keeps the weight off or lives their life in that, you know, 5 to 8 pound range and keeps it there, is always a good thing. And I must admit that the people who I would say benefited the most from an ALCAT test were the people who had been everywhere else before, who had tried everything else before. What it especially works really well. Yeah, and I just don't use the ALCAT testing just for weight loss either. I mean, I use it for allergy and asthma relief. I use it for anti-inflammatory. I use it in heart disease patients. I mean, literally every patient who walks in the door gets a food sensitivity test, gets an ALCAT test. I mean, I think that's how important it is in terms of, because I think inflammation is the key disaster that we're dealing with in terms of health right now. And I think the most outward sign of that is obesity, is that inability to lose weight, is that craving for food that we all have. I crave sugar. I can't live without that coffee in the morning, or I can't live without that donut in the afternoon, or I can't. I've never gotten the I can't. I mean, I was an obese child, and I was obese through high school, and I get it, and I know what that's all about. But the, as an adult, you really do have control over this. But when you have people coming in by just being on the ALCAT test and losing 20, 30, 40 pounds that they never thought they could lose, 60 pounds that they never thought they could lose. And, yeah, they're not going to lose it in a week. It's not going to happen in a month. I mean, you don't gain 60 pounds in a week, so it's going to take a little while. But practice makes perfect, and one ALCAT test does not suffice. You know, I sort of test people either every 6 months, every year, generally, depending on, you know, depending on what they're there for and what people are, you know, what results people are having, how well they do on it. I mean, people invariably cheat, as you know, on diet. So it's just sort of that. So it's really, there's no hard, I think, no hard, fast truth to this, other than to go out and, if you can, get an ALCAT test done and just see how well it can make you feel and how much better it can make you feel in terms of your ability to lose weight might all of a sudden be like, whoa, those are the foods that were doing it. It might not be, you know, X. It might be Y. And the beauty of ALCAT is that it does individualize it for you, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to know exactly what it's going to be for you.
Right. Yeah, thank you for all of that. Well, let's just talk a little bit about when people get the ALCAT test and they get the results, what happens from that point on? What should they expect? What kind of advice do they get?
Well, in my practice, what we do is we'll then sit down. They'll sit down with the nutritionist. I'll explain it to them. And then I have a nutritionist on staff who will go over it and will explain you'll get severe intolerances, moderate intolerances, and mild intolerances. And it also will test, I mean, what I also test for is the big ones, gluten, yeast, and casein. Casein is milk protein, gluten is the wheat protein, and candida is yeast. And so I have, you know, in my profile, I have them test for that as well, because those are big, broad-range foods that, you know, there's probably 20, 40, 50 food categories in there, maybe more. In each one of those things. So it's important that you look at some big ticket items as well. And ALCAT testing, you know, the beauty of ALCAT testing is that it also looks at food preservatives, it looks at things like molds, it looks at environmental allergies. So it looks at a whole bunch of different aspects of life that you may not think is affecting you in a health manner. So I know we've been talking about the foods, and we've been talking specifically about how it can help with weight. But what I do is have people eliminate immediately the severe and the moderate intolerances immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sensitive foods, depending on whether, if someone comes into me just for weight loss, and it depends on how many there are, I'll have them rotate those foods so that they can have them every 4 days. So it doesn't become, because some people will have, you know, 60 or 70 foods that they can't eat. So you've got to do something for these people. I mean, you can't expect them to necessarily just say, okay, I'll take away these 70 foods and now what do I eat? I mean, but, you know, there is a measure of, there always has to be a measure of responsibility for what you're putting in your mouth, and that's just part of it. And I think if you have the tools, and if you're faced with, and this is what I love about the ALCAT test, because it is individualized, and you get a folder, and it says, these are the foods you are sensitive to. So then what do you
do? And you get a little wallet card, too.
You do get a wallet card, and that's, you know, and what you do with that information is sort of your, you know, your call, but it's really the best thing to do is to eliminate the severe and the moderates and take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my practice, I don't have a nutritionist on staff, so we use the ALCAT nutritionist for follow-up, and they do a free half-hour consultation with my patients, you know, talking about how to do the elimination diet and for how many months for each of those intolerances they need to wait before reintroducing it, and then how to reintroduce it. And so, you know, their staff is really, I found, really great, just really supportive. And, you know, the nutritionist, the counseling skills are really good. So, I mean, it's wonderful that you have that in-house, but I don't. So it's cool to be able to have some other support, you know, like that. So, Dr. Fred, how, and this might be a science question that may not be appropriate to ask you, but I thought I'd ask you anyway. If someone had avoided some foods given their ALCAT results and then redid their ALCAT test within, say, a month or something like that, and then other foods, but maybe a more complete one, maybe they discover new foods that they're sensitive to, but then some of the old foods that they had avoided they're no longer testing sensitive to. So is that a usual thing to find? Is it just that their body just isn't reacting to that food because they've been avoiding it for their 3 weeks? Can it happen that quickly?
It can happen that quickly, but I sort of look at this as a 3 to 6 month process. I never look at it as a 3 week process. I think you really sort of need to take your time with this. It's not going to go away so quickly. You might think that, you might think that 3 weeks is okay, but it's really not. You know, it's really, really, really not. I mean, you really have to give it 3 to 6 months. So I think it's just important that people understand that it does take time. And that it is, does that make any sense? That it's not, even ALCAT's not a quick fix. And I don't want people to think that's a quick fix as well.
Right. I'm just thinking that they may, you know, the day that they measured the second test, even though it included the foods that they had already tested for, but they did a more complete one, that I was surprised to see that some of the things that they tested sensitive to on the first test didn't show up on the second test.
Right, but that's because they've basically what they've done is cleared that body, your body has cleared. I mean, when I do a subsequent or consequent, I don't know what the right word is, food ALCA tests, I will expect the number of foods to go down and the foods themselves to change.
Mm. Gotcha.
So, yeah, I mean, there are going to be some things that don't change because they're just not, you know.
Right.
Because there's just... you know what I mean. There's just there's some things that are intractable, and some things just take longer. And even those you might be able to get away with if you sort of do it long enough.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, that's exciting for some people to be able to. Yeah, it's exciting for some people to actually be able to eat gluten-containing foods, you know, where they thought they couldn't before. You know, I know it takes a long time to release that, but it's exciting for them to feel like, wow, I can actually go to a restaurant now, you know, and not feel bad.
But, you know, but again, I mean, for me, as somebody who bases their entire life around food, in terms of how I practice medicine and in terms of how I live my life, I'm not sure some of those foods you should ever go back to.
Mm-hmm. Because they're not particularly nutritious. Yeah,
right.
I know what you mean.
Foods with gluten aren't necessarily nutritious.
Well, and we can go into all that controversy of, you know, there's like this Facebook war about you can't do low carb because it's bad for you, and, you know, yes, you can, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's amazing how it's like a religion. People are really attached, you know, to their carbs and their gluten and whatnot. So we won't go into that area. But what I do want to do is we have a few minutes left. I want to make sure that people know how they can get an ALCAT test and maybe about how they can, you know, connect with you if they want to learn more about your practice and what you do. So could you give us some contact information?
Sure. My website is Dr. Pescatore, PSCATORE.com. And I also have a free e-newsletter that you can get 3 days a week, and that you can get at logicalhealthalternatives.com. And you can sign right up, and that comes to you for free.
Oh,
and
perfect.
That would be the two best places to find me. But you know, the information is really quite good because you get a lot of really good information. And what's better than getting free health information every day delivered right to your door?
That's fantastic. And I think I've mentioned before and on one of my other shows that for anyone, especially those people that, you know, have bought my book, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, and who do not have, you know, a physician or another healthcare provider who offers the ALCAT testing, my office will certainly do that for you. So you can contact me at KarenCan.com. And, you know, scroll down to the bottom and click the contact button, and my assistant can arrange to have the test sent to you and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's cool that this test is so widely available in the world, and it's a one of a kind, and it's just been wonderful to be able to have access to something like that, finally, because we always suspected something was going on.
No, it's great. It's really great. I would recommend everybody do this test.
Mm, that's fabulous. Well, in the minute remaining, I just wanted to ask you, Dr. Pescatore, whether you had any other sort of golden nuggets to share with our listeners about weight loss and you know, food sensitivities, or anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to share.
I mean, I think the one thing I would like to just say is, choose a diet and be consistent with that diet, and you will lose weight. You just have to, if you exercise and are consistent with the diet and you can't find an excuse, no excuses, there are no excuses. If you have a goal, stick with that goal. It's like anything else you do. You go to your job every day. You take care of your kids every day. You take care of your spouse every day. You do things every day consistently, whether you want to or not. Dieting is the same way. And you'll get the results that you want if you follow that advice.
That's great. Well, thank you, Dr. Pescatore, for your time. Really appreciate your expertise. And, you know, the ALCAT testing is so exciting to be so accessible to people, to be able to figure out what their food sensitivities are and finally get a handle on some of this excess weight that they're suffering from. So, again, thank you, Dr. Pescatore, and thank you for all the people listening to our live show today and also on the archive recording. Have a great day, everyone. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.